Homer Simpson. Mind if I sit near your son? Mine sucks.
Well, we certainly are proud of Noah. He's a straight-A student. Noah, state capitals, alphabetical order on my clap.
Albany, Annapolis, Atlanta, Augusta, Austin, Baton Rouge, Bismarck, Boise, Boston, Capital City, Carson City.
Wow, he's terrified of you.
That's why I'm here, to make sure he gets good grades.
Whoa. You come to school to help him get good grades? Isn't that why we pay public school teachers those enormous salaries?
Well, call me over-involved, but someday your son will be my son's chauffeur.
Well, I hope your son enjoys being driven around by the President of the United States.
I haven't heard that in ages. But we have seen them, haven't we? We've all seen those helicopter parents. They hover over their children, hoping they'll stay safe, do well at school, and, well, I guess succeed in life generally. Now, for some, this can continue into university. But overparenting, it seems, can have adverse consequences, including, according to some researchers, anxious and narcissistic children. Professor Marilyn Campbell is a professor in the School of Early Childhood and Inclusive Education at the Queensland University of Technology, and she's been good enough to join us this afternoon. Thanks for doing that, Marilyn. G'day.
G'day, Paul.
So just describe to us what we're referring to when we use that term helicopter parent, because it's quite a broad description.
That's right. It's a media term, and it actually means that parents will hover over their children to make sure nothing goes wrong in their day. So to make sure that they're safe and they have everything that they want. Other people actually call it lawnmower parenting, where the parent goes ahead of the child and mows the path down for them, so there's no obstacles in their way. They never have to face failure. They never have to make a mistake. The parent does everything for them and not developmentally appropriately.
Now, without being too graphic, I've always had the view as a parent that the two greatest gifts that you have as a parent you can bestow on a child are a kiss and a kick in the backside. And the great skill is knowing when to do which one, of course, and that's where we so often get it wrong. But we seem to have two extremes here. We've got the modern helicopter parent and we've got the old school, you know, get up, there's nothing wrong with you when your arm's hanging off and you're in four pieces after a bike crash.
That's right. So, I mean, parenting is a pretty wide path, really. It's not a tightrope. As long as you don't fall off on the kind of left-hand side into incredible neglectful parenting, where you obviously aren't paying your children enough attention or even giving them the basics of life, or falling off on the right-hand side of just doing too much for your children so that they don't become resilient because they're never allowed to make a mistake, they're never allowed to fail. But I think most parents keep to that pretty wide path.
That's a beautiful expression, though. Parenting is not a tightrope, it's a very wide path. Have you patented that, or do you mind if the rest of us use it?
No, I don't think I should.
Okay, so I guess every kid is individual too, so the style of parenting has got to match the subject, hasn't it?
Absolutely. And all parents are different and all kids are individuals. So what might look to somebody else that you are doing too much for your child might need that a little longer than other kids. What we're talking about here, which we really started off the conversation, was about university students whose parents are coming to university and advocating for them if they don't like the mark that they're given. Yeah. That they are actually telling their adult children which courses to take, really inappropriately parenting them because they are adults and they need to make their own choices. They need to own up for their own mistakes and take responsibility for their actions.
See, I've never been one, and the one regret that I I've got about how I raised my children was the language, kind of language I used, you know, things like, you know, don't be a sook and all that sort of stuff that might have been acceptable 20 or 30 years ago that isn't now. And, you know, the implying in your language that girls were somehow weaker than boys and, you know, you should get up and not complain. But I do still subscribe to the view that I'd prefer to, rather than wrap my children in cotton wool, to stand around the corner with the first aid kit ready to go, you know, with a spoonful of cement or, you know, the bandages or whatever. So I don't know how wrong I've got it, and I know on lots of occasions I've felt like I've got it really wrong, but I guess all of us as parents make mistakes.
I don't think any human being on earth doesn't make mistakes. And parenting, as you know, is one of the most difficult things that we can possibly do. And, of course, we all have regrets. We have regrets on what we've done with our careers. We have regrets about friends. We have regrets about parenting. But, hey, probably most of us have probably done okay, and our kids have actually turned out to be okay. What we're talking about is this extreme parenting that we're finding at the moment, and that leads to such anxiety in kids. And we know that sometimes comes from being an anxious parent themselves, so that they're anxious about the world, this kind of fear messages in the air that the kid picks up. And because the parent does too much for the child doubts herself and thinks, well, if I can't tie my shoelaces and mum still has to do that when I'm 15 and other kids can, or if mum won't let me go on the train when other kids can when I'm 17, there must be something wrong with me and I mustn't be able to do these things. So it really takes away their own self-confidence if you're going overboard in this way.
Now, if you're noticing it at university, though, it's a real problem, because we can all be forgiven, you know, developmental issues in our children where we maybe don't toilet train them quick enough or take the dummy away or whatever it is, where we measure what we're doing relative to other kids. And I remember talking to a primary school teacher that says, as long as your kid doesn't turn up at sort of kindergarten with the dummy, then, you know, it should be okay. And there's this whole notion, of course, that with our children, that all we should really want is measurable progress in a reasonable time, that's a good barometer for their success. But if they're turning up at university and not really being able to select their own courses and stuff, I just wonder if you've charted the changes and how long you've been seeing that, how long you've been witnessing that sort of the problem manifesting like that.
Well, this has only been quite a recent phenomenon in Australia, but a lot of research has come out of the United States. And, of course, overparenting is fairly obvious when the child gets to university. So, obviously, there's different times when kids stop using the dummy. There's different times when they walk. And all of that is within developmental parameters and it is fine. But I think most people think that if a student is bright enough to get into university, then they should be able to be emotionally and behaviourally bright enough to live their own lives. They are adults, technically, at 18, but we do keep our kids probably from growing up a little later than in previous generations. I mean, my dad went to work when he was 12 years old. We wouldn't countenance anything like that. So society has changed as well. But I think that that extreme parenting, when it shows up at university, which they've been doing all the lives of their kids, they haven't just started it then, actually shocks people, because that's kind of too far.
Yep. Okay, so what about the narcissism then, the self-centeredness? It's all about me. If you spend so much time with your children, they're entitled to arrive at the conclusion that they're the centre of the universe, aren't they?
Well, of course. I mean, there are a lot of very entitled young people who, you know, say to me, like, you failed me. And I say, no, I didn't. I marked you. You failed. It's that kind of or every child gets a prize. No one's allowed to come last. We are kind of overprotecting them to say that failure isn't any good. Failure is where you learn. This is where you make your mistakes and this is where you learn from them. And, yeah, sure, we're there to pick them up or with your Band-Aid that if they fall over, but you've got to let them do that. And especially at university, you can't have parents sitting in on lecturers and students to advocate for their child. It's, I mean, most people would say that's just not on.
Marilyn Campbell, good to talk to you. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Paul.
Professor Campbell is a professor in the School of Early Childhood and Inclusive Education from Queensland University of Technology.